Oh, Nicodemus. It's a familiar story, at least to me, if you, like me, grew up in the church. It's a favorite Sunday school story, isn't it? The night visitor. I don't think it ever dawned on me, though, just how important he was. I just thought he was some bloke that was curious and too shy to come and address Jesus in the daylight. But it says that he was a member of the ruling council, which was called the Sanhedrin, and they were really an elite group. So they were the Pharisees, but they were the top Pharisees that met together. And I know that there was also Herod, who was a puppet of the Romans, and they were the Roman oppressors. But it was a religious state, so they really were the rulers of the land. And it was Passover time. And Jesus, he says he doesn't have a home. Foxes have a den, but Son of Man has no place. So he was likely staying at one of the disciples' place. Maybe, well, not Peter. He lived in Capernaum, didn't he? At some disciples' place. And probably he was up on the rooftop. So Passover would have been around April, so the weather would have been fairly warm, and that's what you did. You went up to the rooftop, especially if you were a rabbi. Your disciples would sit at your feet, probably literally, not just metaphorically, and receive your teaching. And I imagine the woman at the house hearing a commotion below, and the woman of the house saying, Jesus, Yeshua, which is his name in Hebrew, and him saying, yes, there's a visitor for you. Send him up, Hannah, whatever her name was. Jesus, yes, Hannah, he's from the Sanhedrin. Send him up, Hannah. They would have been a little bit nervous because although this was quite early in Jesus' ministry, he'd already caused a stir. Who is this upstart, thought the Pharisees. They were meeting. The people are flocking to him to hear his message. And those miracles he says he's performing. How does he do those tricks? But I think some of them, because Nicodemus later says some of them had really wondered and maybe felt a drawing on their heart. Certainly Nicodemus did. So up he goes. They're both nervous. The disciples and Nicodemus, just not Jesus. And he blurts it out. Lord, Rabbi, teacher, we know that you couldn't be doing all these wonderful things unless you were sent by God. The answer was probably not what Nicodemus was expecting. He said, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God, and Nicodemus would have expected him to say, unless he was a Jew and kept the law almost perfectly. Of course, Nicodemus would have known that you can't do it perfectly, perfectly, but just about perfectly. Nicodemus was probably wondering where you draw the line, how righteous do you have to be to see the kingdom of God? But it wasn't the answer that Nicodemus was expecting that he got. He said, in order to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. Now, I'm just thinking, I have a picture of Nicodemus and Jesus talking together. Maybe we could have that. Now, you have to remember, it wasn't a phrase that had been coined. It would have been unfamiliar. We're familiar with the term born again, and it's often used as a term of derision, isn't it? A born again Christian. Oh, watch out for that lot, they're a bit crazy. But it was something new to Nicodemus, and he was, I don't know, usually in the scripture we read it that he sounds puzzled, but I don't think he was silly. He probably sounded a little bit sardonic. Come on, born again, what are you talking about? What kind of nonsense is that? Nobody can be born again. But Jesus again said, I tell you the truth. Or like it says in the old scriptures, who remembers it, the old version, verily, verily, I say unto you, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit gives birth to spirit. So, I think there might be a verse there. So, this was all a little bit puzzling to Nicodemus, because he'd spent his life trying to follow the law to the letter. And now he was told that he had to go backwards, become like a child again, be born again of the Spirit. It was all a bit puzzling to him. How can this be, says Nicodemus? And I think what he meant was, what are you on about? And Jesus says, you're Israel's teacher? And I'm wondering if that special title that he had, if Nicodemus was well known as being the teacher to go to, known as Israel's teacher. Or maybe there's just a word missing there, lost in translation. But it sounds like he was really somebody that knew everything, that was well respected as a teacher of the law. You are Israel's teacher, and yet you do not know these things, Jesus said to him. And it's a theme that runs through this passage and what he's saying, and through the book of John, in fact. Jesus says to the Pharisees, if you really knew your Father, you would know that I am sent from the Father. If you really, you search the scriptures, Jesus says, but you miss the main point. And you're not really seeking the heart of the Father. Because all the scriptures in the law talk about me. The law shows you that it can't be through righteousness, our righteousness, that we see eternal life. But instead, we have to be born again of the Spirit. Nicodemus probably didn't like the idea of having to submit himself. Jesus said, the wind blows where it will. And wind and spirit, you probably know in Hebrew, are the same word, ruach. The wind blows where it will. We're not in control of the wind, are we? Nicodemus was in control of the law. In fact, they made laws upon laws to make sure that people kept the law. And he liked that sort of control, I'm sure. But Jesus said, no, the Spirit's like the wind. It comes and it blows in our lives. It does its work. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know where it goes, but we just have to submit to it. It would have been a hard message for him. Jesus went on to talk about the Old Testament passage. As Moses raised the serpent up, so must the Son of Man be lifted high. It was a term for me. Son of Man, be lifted high. He was telling Nicodemus, he was making an Old Testament tie. All the things in the Old Testament speak about me. The people in the wilderness, they'd grumbled and been disobedient, the people of Israel, and they'd been bitten by these serpents. They cried to God for mercy, and Moses put this serpent up on a stick. Maybe it was a cross like that. And the people had to just look in faith. Some people refused. Oh, that's ridiculous. And they weren't healed. But the ones that came and bowed their knees and looked up and said, this is my healer, they were the ones that were restored to life again. So Jesus says it's the same. I will be lifted high, and those that look to me are the ones that will receive eternal life. I will become sin on the cross for you. So Nicodemus left. He had a lot to think about. I think there's a happy ending here because Nicodemus comes up two more times in the Bible. One, he's kind of defending Jesus at the cathedral. Sanhedrin. Can't believe I said that. At the Sanhedrin. Saying, are we condemning this man too soon? Do we have enough evidence? We need more evidence. So he kind of defended him. And also, the next time he comes up in the Bible, where is it? Does anyone know? After the crucifixion, he brings in hundreds of pounds of myrrh, I think, to lay around the body. He helps Joseph of Arimathea at the tomb. And also there are further stories and legends. So I think Nicodemus did become a follower of Christ, that he was born again of the Spirit, just as Jesus said that he must be. So I kind of like to think about that. So what about us? There's this beautiful verse, let's go back to it, "For God so loved the world." The most read scripture, the most published scripture, the most well-known, apparently. Let's read it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for that story. It's not just a Sunday school story. It's a story that ties it all together, that says it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about submitting to you and receiving new life through your Spirit. Lord, we know that we can't do it in our own strength, that we can never be righteous. But we thank you that you have lifted up Jesus on the cross and that we have that way of salvation. And now, Lord, as the Spirit is in our lives, help us to live it and to follow him and to be Spirit-filled every day. Lord, we just declare that we belong to you, that we receive you, that you are our Lord, and that your Spirit fills us. And we say, Lord, more, ignite that Spirit in us, because we don't want just to serve ourselves, but we want to serve your kingdom. So help us, Lord, in this we pray. Amen.